Dear congregation, how well do you see? That's an important question, isn't it? It affects whether you can drive, how well you can look after your children, how fully you can enjoy God's creation. Yet, few of us, most likely here, have perfect eyesight, or good eyesight. Some of us have glasses or contacts. Some of us maybe have had cataract surgery. We need help to be able to see clearly. Maybe that's a strange way to begin a Christmas Day service. But let me ask another question. How well do you see Jesus? I mean, not physically, of course, but spiritually. How well do you see Jesus? The Bible tells us, dear congregation, that all of us are spiritually blind by nature. We don't just need help. We need a miracle. Even believers can struggle at times to see Jesus clearly. And this is far more important than seeing with our physical eyes. You see, when we don't see the Lord Jesus clearly, we doubt Him instead of trust Him. When we don't see the Lord Jesus clearly, we fight against Him instead of surrendering ourselves in wholehearted worship to Him. When we don't see Jesus clearly, we keep Him to ourselves instead of telling others about Him. What is the solution? We need Simeon's spiritual eyesight. What did Simeon see when he saw Jesus? He tells us in our text, verse 30 of Luke chapter 2. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon saw Jesus clearly. He saw in him the Lord's salvation. And congregation, that is what each of us needs to see. We need to see that Jesus is the Lord's salvation. So with God's help, let's look together at our passage, focusing especially on Luke 2, verses 25 to 32. So not the whole story of Simeon, but part of it. Under the theme, Simeon sees the Lord's salvation. Or perhaps better, Simeon sees Jesus as the Lord's salvation. We will use the following 3 points as we work through this passage together. First, the assurance of this. Second, the answer to this. And third, the availability of this to all. So let's first consider the assurance we have that Jesus is the Lord's salvation. How can you really be sure that He is the Lord's salvation? Simeon was sure. He had no doubt that the baby he was holding in his arms was the Lord's salvation. But how do we know that Simeon was right? We know because to see Jesus this way, Simeon was totally and utterly dependent on God's revelation. Did you notice that? Did you notice how active the Lord is in this story? Of course, the Lord is always active. He's always in control of everything. He's always sovereign. But sometimes something happens in a way, we can have this even in our own lives, but something happens in a way that His hand is so obvious, and we have to say, God did this. Well, that was certainly true when Simeon saw Jesus. Verses 25 to 27 make that clear. And this is important, dear congregation, in Luke's context. He tells us in chapter 1, verse 4, that he wants his reader to know the certainty of those things in which he was instructed. And And one of those things, we could even say the most important thing to know and be assured of is this, that Jesus is the Lord's salvation. And the way to that assurance is through God revealing it. Who was Simeon? In verse 25, Luke introduces him as a man in Jerusalem. We read that he was just and devout. In other words, he wasn't ignorant of God. He knew God. How? Through his word. The word through which God revealed himself. Through the Old Testament at Simeon's time. A word that revealed God as the God of salvation. And Simeon wasn't careless with that word. He believed it. He depended on it. He applied it to his life. Simeon was a godly man. He was careful to obey God in all, to obey God's law in all its details. Simeon didn't just have an outward religion. He loved, he feared God. He strove to obey him. But he was also waiting for something, waiting expectantly. Verse 25 says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation, children, is a big word that just simply means comfort. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel. You see, as godly as Simeon was, his godliness, his obedience was not his comfort. Simeon saw sin within him. He saw sin around him. He saw suffering. He saw how Israel suffered. He no doubt experienced suffering himself. Simeon needed comfort. And God had revealed to Simeon in his word, not just what he required of Simeon, but also that comfort was coming. That he would bring comfort. He would bring consolation. A consolation of Israel that would come in the person of the Messiah. Simeon had read Old Testament prophecies of comfort, like the one in Isaiah 40 verse 1. You know this one. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Oh, how he longed for the Messiah to come and fulfill these words. Simeon waited. He looked for. He expected. He anticipated this consolation. Perhaps he searched the scriptures daily to see what the Messiah would be like, to see if there was any sign of when this consolation would come. If he heard something, some claim that the Messiah was here, he would learn as much as he could, and then he would go to the Word, and he would compare it to see if it matched up. Simeon longed for God's promised deliverance and consolation. Here's the point. Simeon was sure that Jesus is the Lord's salvation because God had promised it in his word. To see Jesus clearly, Simeon depended on the written word of God, God's own revelation of himself. Beloved, the Bible assures us that Jesus is the Lord's salvation. Oh, what a privilege it is to have the Word of God. But this raises a question. Are you reading it? We can't expect to see Jesus clearly, dear congregation, if we are not reading God's Word. How much more revelation do we have than Simeon? Simeon had the Old Testament. He had the promises and the prophecies. But we don't just have that. We have the New Testament, which tells us of the fulfillment of these promises in Christ Jesus. Oh, let us be people, dear congregation, of the book. You know, so many people doubt or don't believe, flat out don't believe that Jesus is the Lord's salvation because they don't read their Bibles. Young people, I ask you today especially, are you reading the Bible? Your university professors, your friends perhaps, they will try to discourage you from reading it. They will laugh at you if you do. They will tell you, like I heard once in my class from a fellow student, that this book is a pack of lies. Or at least they'll say it's not the Word of God. But don't believe that. Many of them have never read it from cover to cover. Why would you listen to them? But sometimes people do read the Bible, and they still don't believe that Jesus is the Lord's salvation. Perhaps that is even someone here today. There were a lot of people like that when Luke wrote his gospel too. Many of the Jews, they read the Bible and they even believed it was God's word, but they denied the Lord Jesus. Others today might say that Jesus is their Savior, but it doesn't impact their lives except for maybe a few outward things that they do. And true Christians can look around at all this and even sometimes wonder if their faith is really true. They can struggle with questions and doubts. Why do so many people not believe? Well, the answer is in our text. The end of verse 25 says, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. Not just now and then, but continually. This tells us, dear congregation, that Simeon was born again. He was born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit had regenerated him and convinced him of the truth of God's word. That is the only way anyone can truly see Jesus clearly. It is by the Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit who makes dead sinners, like we all once were, alive and assures them of the truth that Jesus is the Lord's salvation that they so desperately need. But the Spirit's being on Simeon means even more here. It means that Simeon, dear congregation, was like the Old Testament prophets who God spoke to directly. In fact, one day, the Holy Spirit had given Simeon a special message from God. Verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. The Greek word translated revealed tells us just by itself that it was a message from God. But to underline that even more, Luke adds, by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. Why does he do that? To assure us that what Simeon says about the Lord Jesus is true. Simeon didn't make this up or imagine it in his head. God revealed it to him. And dear congregation, God cannot lie. Well, what was God's message to Simeon? And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow. Here was a divine promise that Simeon would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the anointed one. Not just any anointed one, but the Lord's anointed one. This was the consolation, the comfort of God's people he had been looking for. No doubt this promise made Simeon look for this consolation all the more eagerly. Every morning he must have asked, will it be today? Will I get to see the Lord's Christ today? But Simeon couldn't make it happen. Simeon depended on God to fulfill the promise he had made. Think about it. This was a promise that overruled death itself. He would not see death. Death could not touch Simeon until the Spirit's promise was fulfilled. And congregation, I ask you, who can hold back death? not Simeon. Who can show the Lord's Christ? Not Simeon. Do we not have to say, only God can do that? Yes, only God can do that. And God did do that. He revealed Jesus to Simeon. He kept his promise. Verse 27. And he came, Simeon came, by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit. Doesn't this just highlight God's sovereign control? Where does the Spirit lead Simeon? He leads him to the temple, the place of sacrifice, the place where God had been pleased to dwell, the place where he so often revealed himself, the place where he showed his glory. And there, it is there that God reveals his salvation to Simeon. He reveals the consolation of Israel. He reveals his Christ in a little baby, just over a month old. He revealed the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the parents had brought in the child Jesus, the text says, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. In that moment, as Jesus was fulfilling the law of the Lord already as a baby, Simeon, by the sovereign grace of God, saw Jesus clearly. He saw the Lord's salvation. The consolation of Israel had come. Simeon was sure because God had revealed it to him. Some of you here may be looking to Christ, but you're afraid. You're afraid of presuming that you're saved. You're not as godly as Simeon. You haven't had an experience like Simeon. What if you're not elect? Oh, dear congregation, beloved, if you have been brought to Christ, if he is your only comfort in life and death, your only hope of salvation, if you are looking to him, however fearfully and falteringly, that is not your own work. That is a God's work. It is a Spirit's work. It is God who has done it. So let that comfort you. Let that assure you that you are elect, that you all do belong, that you do belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear congregation, like Simeon, every one of us needs God by his word and by his Spirit to convince us that Jesus is a Savior. We need his Spirit to apply his word with power in our hearts. Oh, how this should humble you and me. It doesn't mean we need to wait for God to give us a special message like Simeon received. Nor is it an excuse to just sit back and do nothing and give yourself up to a life of sin. No, it's an encouragement to search the Word. That is where God reveals himself. It's an encouragement to pray for the Holy Spirit's blessing on the Word. To pray that he might cause you to see Jesus. It's an encouragement to listen to the preaching of the Word. The Word which God so loves to use by his Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus as the Savior of sinners. These are the means that he has appointed. Well, doesn't the story of Simeon so beautifully display God's grace and compassion to us? God, he could have sent Jesus and just, he could have sent him into this world and he could have just left us to ourselves to figure out who he was. But he didn't. If he did, none of us would be here today. But he didn't. No, he prepared for his coming with his word. And when he did come, he sent his Spirit to intervene in Simeon's life to assure both him and us that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. But how should we respond to this? This brings us to our second point, the answer we must give. Look with me at Simeon's answer in verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. This is a stunning picture. When Simeon saw Jesus, he didn't stay at a distance from him. No, he joyfully received him. There stands dear, careful Simeon, tenderly bending his arms in order to receive the baby, Jesus, the Lord's salvation. Oh, how carefully and lovingly he holds this salvation. What a beautiful picture, dear congregation, of hearty, thankful faith. And then Simeon blesses. He praises God. He holds nothing back. He bows, as it were, in total surrender and submission to God. As he holds this little baby in his arms, Simeon blesses God. And he says in verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Oh, what total submission. Simeon calls himself a servant of the Lord. And that's what he was. He was bound to God's word and God's spirit. The Spirit had given him a most important promise that he would see the Lord's Christ. In a certain sense, it was a task that Simeon had to do. But it was a task which Simeon himself could not do by himself. He couldn't make it happen. It was a task for which he needed his Lord. The word for Lord in this verse is different from the normal word for Lord in Scripture. It refers to God's absolute sovereign authority and control, especially in relation to his servants. And so here's the point. The Lord himself has granted to Simeon what he has commanded. The Lord's Christ is lying in Simeon's arms, all because of God. And so Simeon joyfully surrenders his whole life into the Lord's hands. He could say with the psalmist of one, Psalm 116, I am, O Lord, thy servant, bound yet free. Congregation, it is a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord. He is not a harsh taskmaster. No, sovereignty and grace together meet in him. Oh, then let us joyfully surrender all to him. Simeon did. Seeing Christ was the one thing that mattered most to Simeon. And so he can now depart or die in peace. This verse in the Greek, it's not so much a request. It's not like Simeon is saying, Lord, please let me die let me depart or die in peace. It's saying, Lord, now thou art letting thy servant depart in peace. Remember the promise in verse 26? Simeon would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now he has seen him. And so Simeon confesses in faith that the Lord is letting him depart or die in peace according to his word. But notice he doesn't say, I feel ready to depart. I feel ready to die. He says, Lord, absolute ruler of my life, now thou art letting me depart in peace. Congregation, we can learn from this, can't we? You know, often as Christians, we can struggle with feeling ready to die. We can struggle to let go of loved ones who are dying or who have died. We can struggle with it in our own lives, to let go of life. Maybe someone here has a terminal illness, and you don't feel ready to die. Perhaps you have regrets about things in your life that you cannot redo. You see your shortcomings, your failures. You're afraid you failed God. You struggle with fear of death. Oh, let Simeon's words comfort you, dear believer, this morning. Be reminded of this truth, that if you are a believer here, you are the Lord's servant. And therefore, you are not in charge of your life or your death. That's true of all people. But especially when it comes to us as believers, we are not in charge of our death. God is. And when God says it's time for you to depart, for you to die, that means your work on earth for Him is done, no matter how you may feel about it. But even more than that, it means that God is satisfied with you, with your life. He lets you depart in peace. You see, dear congregation, as believers, as the Lord's servants, we are God's workmanship. And God will never let His people die until He has finished His work in and through them. But how can this be? How was it that God could let Simeon die in peace? How is it that He can let us, anyone, die in peace? Simeon, to your congregation, the Lord's servant, could die in peace because the baby in his arms was the one servant of the Lord who would not be allowed to die in peace until he had suffered the full wrath of God on the cross and obtained full salvation and eternal peace for Simeon and for all who believe on him. Oh, the congregation, doesn't this bring you to worship Christ in wholehearted surrender? Let us do that now. In the words of Psalter 426, 426, verses 4, 5, 7, and 8. Well, what lies behind such a worshipful response? What lay behind Simeon's response of worship and submission to the Lord? Look with me at verse 30, our text. "For mine eyes," he says, "have seen thy salvation." What lay behind Simeon's response to your congregation was faith, personal faith. All Simeon saw with his physical eyes was a helpless baby. But with his spiritual eyes, his eyes of faith, he saw the Lord's salvation in this baby. He saw by faith the fulfillment of God's promises even before they were completely fulfilled. R.C. Sproul said, and I quote, "Do you see what is behind Simeon's song? Oh Lord, I don't have to watch this child grow up. I don't have to watch him talk with the doctors in the temple as a lad of 12 years old. I don't have to watch him multiply the fishes and the loaves to feed 5,000 people to be convinced. I don't have to watch him walk on the water or turn the water into wine. I don't have to be on the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't have to be an eyewitness of the resurrection or his ascension into heaven. I have seen all I need to see." End quote. Simeon had a personal faith in Jesus. And so I ask you this morning, do you also have this faith, that faith that Jesus is the Lord's salvation also for you? Have your eyes, do your eyes see the Lord's salvation in Jesus? You see, congregation, it's not enough simply to know and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. The Bible is clear that not everyone is saved. God doesn't let everyone depart in peace. To be saved, to depart and to die in peace, you need to personally receive Jesus as your Savior. You need to have true faith in Him. Do you? Well, maybe some of you are thinking right now, well, yes, but faith is a gift of God. And so I need to be like Simeon. Simeon waited. I need to wait for faith. Really? Yes, faith is a gift of God. But Simeon wasn't waiting for faith. He was waiting in faith. And dear congregation, the Bible never tells us to wait for faith. It tells us to wait in faith. It tells us to believe. What do you have to wait for? Are you waiting for the consolation of Israel? He has come. Are you waiting for the Lord's Christ? He has come. Are you waiting for God to reveal a special promise to you? He has given it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Are you waiting for permission to be saved? Here it is. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Beloved, the waiting is over. The Lord's salvation is in Jesus. And so there is nothing for you to do but to repent and believe the gospel. To have faith in Jesus. To rest in Jesus. To receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, because God has sent Him to you. But what if you struggle to believe that Jesus can be your Savior? That He can be your salvation? Well, notice that Simeon didn't say, "Mine eyes have seen my salvation." He said to the Lord, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Well, if it's the Lord's salvation to your congregation, then it's an all-powerful salvation, is it not? Simeon doesn't say this salvation is for strong believers or for assured believers or for people who have only sinned a little or for people who don't struggle with the sin that you do. He simply says, thy salvation. So can you not rest in that? Can you not take that back to the Lord and say, Lord, thou sayest in thy word that Jesus is thy salvation. Thou knowest I'm a mess of sin, Lord. Thou knowest I need salvation. Thou knowest how hopeless I am without thee. I need thy salvation. Oh, let Jesus be thy salvation also for me, according to thy word. Will the Lord answer such a prayer? Yes, he will. You see, the Lord's salvation is not just for Simeon. It's for the world. We come now to our third point. Jesus is the Lord's salvation available to all. Simeon says in verses 30 to 32, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Oh, do you see the heart of God here? The availability of the Lord's salvation to all is no accident. It's a salvation that God has prepared, that he has made ready. Jesus did not have to win God's favor. He does not have to beg God to save people by him. No, Jesus has come by God's design. God sent Jesus in the fullness of time for this very purpose, to seek and to save the lost. God, in his sovereign power and wisdom, has made ready. He has set up his salvation in Jesus. And this availability to all is not a change of plans. Simeon's words closely resemble prophecies in Isaiah. For example, Isaiah 52, verse 10 says, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. In Isaiah 49, verse 6, the Lord says to his servant, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. He says almost the same thing in Isaiah 42, verse 6. These prophecies, dear congregation, were given 700 years before Christ was born. It was God's plan already then. It has always been his plan into all eternity to make the salvation available to all. And so it's not an accident. It's not a plan B, and it's not a secret. God raised up Jesus before the face of all peoples. Why? Because the Lord wants all peoples to see the salvation of the Lord in Jesus. There are no exceptions. This salvation, this Savior, is not just for Simeon to see. It's not just for the Jews to see. It's for the world to see. It's available to all. Simeon makes this so clear, doesn't he? This salvation is a light to lighten the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? The Gentile nations around Israel did not know God by and large. They lived in darkness. They knew nothing of God's promised salvation like Simeon and the Jews did. They certainly didn't. They certainly weren't like Simeon was, just and devout. But Jesus is a light to lighten them. He drives away the darkness. Why? So that they might see the salvation of God in him. Dear congregation, I don't know this congregation at all, really, but I think it's probably safe to say that most of us here are Gentiles, if not all of us. Some of you who are first generation Christians maybe realize that a little more than many of us. But for those of us who have grown up in Christian homes, we can tend to forget this, that we're Gentiles. We forget that there was a time when our ancestors, our families, did not know God. They did not have a Bible. They didn't have a church to go to. They did not know the Lord's salvation. And then one day, the gospel was brought to someone or maybe some people in your family, and their eyes were opened. They were turned from darkness to light. Oh, how thankful we should be for the Lord's salvation revealed to them and still to us one, two, maybe many generations later. How thankful we should be that Jesus is the Savior for all. Yes, also for us. But the purpose of this light is not just to see the salvation of God and admire it from your pew. No, the purpose of it is that we might come to this light. As Isaiah 60 verse 3 says. Children, if you've ever sat outside at summertime in the dark, when it's warm out, and you turn a light on outside, what usually happens? What comes to the light? Bugs, right? Bugs, they come to the light. They are attracted to it. They can't stay away. And it's the same way with this salvation, with this Savior too. What has happened over the last 2,000 years since he came into this world? People from every tribe and tongue and nation worldwide have been attracted to him. They have seen in him salvation from their sins, light to drive away their darkness, and they have come to him. They have come to the light of the world. Beloved, this light shines brightly from this pulpit every week. Are you attracted to it? Or are you ignoring it? Well, why would you stumble around in darkness when this light is right here? Won't you come to the light? Won't you come to Jesus? The Savior is a light to lighten the Gentiles, but he is also the glory of his people Israel. This little Jewish baby, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one the whole Old Testament speaks of and points to. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the covenant promises. Israel's God has not failed. The Redeemer, the consolation of Israel, has come. Oh, with what tenderness Israel is described, God's people. You know, many of the Jews in Luke's day, they didn't think Jesus was their glory. They treated him as if he was their shame. They even crucified him. And yet through Simeon's testimony, Luke tenderly seeks, and really the Holy Spirit is seeking here, to open their eyes to see Jesus clearly, to see him even as the crucified one for who he really is, their glory. Oh, beloved, what does the worldwide availability of this salvation mean for us here? It means, doesn't it, that no one here is excluded from the free offer of the gospel of salvation. Whatever your background, however deep your darkness, however much and however horribly you have sinned, however young or however old you are, Jesus is the Lord's salvation also for you. He is the Lord's salvation for all peoples. So believe on him and you will be saved. And dear Christian, it means, doesn't it, that we need to fight the good fight of faith. Amid all our doubts, all our temptations, all our indwelling sin still, keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the Lord's salvation. He never has and he never will fail you. And so let us also then call others to faith in Jesus. Let us not hide this salvation. Let us not hoard it. Let us proclaim it to all. Each in our own callings personally and together as a church. The Lord's salvation, dear congregation, is not just meant for in here. It's meant for our homes. It's meant to be proclaimed in our homes, to our children. It's meant for our neighbors, our co-workers, our employees. It's meant for the homeless people downtown. It's meant for the veterans and disabled people who wait at the stoplights for people to give them some money. It's for the people in jails in this city and across this nation. It's for the people living around this church building. It's for people sitting in government. It's for the Jews. It's for the Muslims, militant or peaceful. It's for all nations and all peoples. So let's tell them about Jesus. Let's pray for them when their hearts are hard. Let's seek ways to reach them with the gospel. Let's pray for the outreach ministries that you are involved in. Let's participate in outreach together as a church, as you're able. Let's at least ask God if he wants us to be involved in his service in some full-time way. Let's ask him if he wants us to plant churches in unreached areas. Let's pray for more laborers. And as the Lord answers that prayer, let's send ministers and missionaries to all the nations of this world. Dear congregation, how well do you see Jesus? Do you see that he is the Lord's salvation? Oh, then let us prize him above all else, today and always. Let us bless God and surrender ourselves to him in joyful faith. Let us seek to let others know that Jesus is the Lord's salvation also for them. Let us, yes, like Joseph and Mary, be constantly marveling at the things which are spoken of Christ. And when our sight of Jesus gets blurry, as it so often does in this world of sin and suffering, when our eyes fail as we wait for the fullness of the consolation, then remember this. The Lord who kept his promise to Simeon has also promised that one day he will return and wipe away every tear from our eyes. And then we will see Jesus clearly forever. Then, not just spiritually, but physically, then also we will sing the truths expressed in Psalter 262 like never before. He has wrought salvation. He has made it known. Amen. Let us give thanks. Lord, thou art the God of salvation. And thy word makes it so clear. It is only our own fault if we refuse to see it. But how dependent, Lord, we are at the same time on thy Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for looking for comfort, for consolation, for salvation in other places. Forgive us for ignoring thy word, for not reading it as we should. Forgive us, Lord, for our self-confidence and pride. And give us, Lord, we pray, more of a hunger for thy word, more of a dependence on thee. Help us, O God. Help each person here to surrender all to thee, knowing this comfort in both life and in death, that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thou hast blessed us. How can we not bless thee? Make us, Lord, thy willing servants, as Simeon was. Make us to marvel at thy work in Christ. Lord, please bless and apply thy word further. forgive anything that was sinful in this hour. And we pray, Lord, that no one here would stay at a distance from Jesus, but that we would all personally receive him, and that we would keep no one at a distance from him, Lord, but that we would proclaim him to all. Bless this congregation. Bless the seeds that are sown every week here in the families represented here, in their neighborhoods, in their workplaces, and wherever thou hast put them, Lord, to be a light. Give them courage. Give us all courage, Lord, to be faithful witnesses in these difficult days. We pray, Lord, that in every place the gospel of thy salvation may be proclaimed. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst yet also be with the Rosabooms, be with Mrs. Rosaboom as she, in her weakened state, Lord, pray that you would give her and her husband strength, spiritual strength. And Lord, we also pray for the pastor that this congregation has called and for so long already has waited to receive. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst open up the way, that Pastor Pronk may be able to come soon. Lord, thou canst do it. And so we look to thee. We pray for a blessing further on this day and all of our gatherings or celebrations, Lord. Help us always to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst come soon, come quickly, and fulfill thy promise. In thy name we ask, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us sing in closing Psalter 262, a salvation for the world, all the stanzas. us go home with the following prayer in our hearts. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.